photosynthetic capacity. It might at first seem that the supply of sunlight is infinite, so one might reason that the Earth's capacity to grow crops and wild plants is also infinite. Within the last 20 years, it has been appreciated that that is not the case. The amount of solar energy fixed per acre by plant photosynthesis, hence plant growth per acre, depends on temperature and rainfall. At any given temperature and rainfall, the plant growth that can be supported by the sunlight falling on an acre is limited by the geometry and biochemistry of plants, even if they take up the sunlight so efficiently that not a single photon of light passes through the plants unabsorbed to reach the ground. The first calculation of this photosynthetic ceiling, carried out in 1986, estimated that humans then already used or diverted or wasted about half of the Earth's photosynthetic capacity. Given the rate of increase of human population, and especially of population impact since 1986, we are projected to be using most of the world's terrestrial photosynthetic capacity by the middle of this century. That is, most energy fixed from sunlight will be used for human purposes, and little will be left over to support the growth of natural plant communities, such as natural forests. The next three problems involve harmful things that we generate or move around. Toxic chemicals. The chemical industry and many other industries manufacture or release into the air, soil, oceans, lakes, and rivers many toxic chemicals. Some of them unnatural and synthesized only by humans, others present naturally in tiny concentrations, such as mercury, or else synthesized by living things but released by humans in quantities much larger than natural ones, such as hormones. The first of these toxic chemicals to achieve wide notice were insecticides, pesticides, and herbicides, whose effects on birds, fish, and other animals were publicized by Rachel Carson's 1962 book, Silent Spring. Since then, it has been appreciated that the toxic effects of even greater significance for us humans are those on ourselves. The culprits include not only insecticides, pesticides, and herbicides, but also mercury and other metals, fire retardant chemicals, refrigerator coolants, detergents, and components of plastics. We swallow them in our food and water, breathe them in our air, and absorb them through our skin. Often in very low concentrations, they variously cause birth defects, mental retardation, and temporary or permanent damage to our immune and reproductive systems. Some of them act as endocrine disruptors, that is, they interfere with our reproductive systems by mimicking or blocking effects of our own sex hormones. They probably make the major contribution to the steep decline in sperm count in many human populations over the last several decades, and to the apparently increasing frequency with which couples are unable to conceive, even when one takes into account the increasing average age of marriage in many societies. Many of these toxic chemicals are broken down in the environment slowly or not at all. Thus, cleanup costs of many polluted sites in the U.S. are measured in the billions of dollars. But pollution in the U.S. is mild compared to that in the former Soviet Union, China, and many third world mines, whose cleanup costs no one even dares to think about. Alien species. The term alien species refers to species that we transfer from a place where they are native to another place where they are not. Some alien species are obviously valuable to us, but others devastate populations of native species with which they come in contact, because the native species with which they come in contact had no previous evolutionary experience of them and are unable to resist them. There are by now literally hundreds of cases in which alien species have caused one-time or annually recurring damages of hundreds of millions of dollars, or even billions of dollars. Atmospheric gases. Human activities produce gases that escape into the atmosphere, where they either damage the protective ozone layer or else act as greenhouse gases that absorb sunlight and thereby lead to global warming. The gases contributing to global warming include carbon dioxide from combustion and respiration and methane from fermentation in the intestines of ruminant animals. Our burning of firewood and of fossil fuels has greatly increased the former, and our herds of cattle and sheep have greatly increased the latter. Most knowledgeable scientists now agree that the atmosphere has been undergoing an unusually rapid rise in temperature recently, and that human activities are the or a major cause. The remaining uncertainties mainly concern the future expected magnitude of the effect. That is, Whether average global temperatures will increase by 1.5 degrees centigrade or by 5 degrees centigrade over the next century. Those numbers may not sound like a big deal until one reflects that average global temperatures were only 5 degrees cooler at the height of the last ice age. Global warming will produce both winners and losers. In Montana, California, and many other dry climates, the disappearance of mountain snowpacks will decrease the water available for domestic uses and for irrigation. The rise in global sea levels as a result of snow and ice melting poses dangers of flooding and coastal erosion for densely populated, low-lying coastal plains and river deltas already barely above or even below sea level. The areas thereby threatened include much of the Netherlands, Bangladesh, and the seaboard of the eastern U.S., the deltas of the Nile and Mekong, and coastal and riverbank cities of the United Kingdom, India, Japan, and the Philippines. Global warming will also produce big secondary effects that are difficult to predict exactly in advance and that are likely to cause huge problems, such as further climate changes resulting from changes in ocean circulation resulting from melting of the Arctic ice cap. The remaining two problems involve the increase in human population. Increasing population. Everybody agrees that the world population is increasing, but that its annual percentage rate of increase is not as high as it was a decade or two ago. However, there is still disagreement about whether the world's population will stabilize at some value above its present level, perhaps double the present population. And if so, how many years it will take for population to reach that level? Perhaps 30 years, 50 years, or whether population will continue to grow. There is long built-in momentum to human population growth because of what is termed the demographic bulge. That is, suppose that every couple in the world decided tonight to limit themselves to 2.1 children, approximately the correct number of children to yield an unchanging population. The world's population would nevertheless continue to increase for about 70 years, because more people today are of reproductive age or entering reproductive age than are old and post-reproductive.